Ann Arbor District Library Board of Trustees meeting.
Let's call this meeting to order. Karen, do we have attendance? We were just coming from recess for a closed session. Do I convene the meeting? Or no, we get move right to approving the agenda. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Seconded.
All right, any discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The consent agenda, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Seconded.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I should have asked opposed. Okay. Great. So moving on, citizens' comments. Karen, do we have anyone up for citizens' comments? Okay, great. So we have an opportunity at the end of the meeting, should anyone feel so moved. We're going to move pretty quickly along. Josie on financial reports.
So in this packet, you guys can hear me. In this packet, we have financials for 3 months. July, August, and September, bringing forward to you at this meeting for you to see and have questions and approve. So what you'll see also is we have a new format for the financials, and hopefully this will help answer some questions we've had about understanding the budget and the transparency in the budget. So if you look at page 21, for the period of July, just for that month, what you see is the July actual and the year-to-date actual would be absolutely the same because it's a 1 month. Mm-hmm. The next one is the budgeted number, the budget remaining in dollars. Mm-hmm. But on the far right is the percentage year-to-date. And it shows you it's all positive in that revenue line, obviously. If you go down and look at expenditures, what it shows you is the percentage of the budget that has been expended in that month from that line. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example of something that you would be watching for as a board member. Look at accounting and audit. In the first month of the year, you are 37% spent. Mm-hmm. That line will go over.
Mm-hmm. Josie, how far down are you? I'm sorry.
I am on page 21 in expenditures under purchase services on the accounting and audit line.
Got it.
So I'm just pointing this out. So this is an obvious one. Mm-hmm. Because of the situation we're in with a person who's out. We're contracting services for accounting. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to push this over. So at the end of the year, we will have to do our reconciliation, moving money from a line that's underspent into an overspent line. Mm-hmm. But what this is telling you over there is what that looks like. Mm-hmm. So if you go further down to 24% on communications, mm-hmm. that's probably about right at the beginning of the year, and we should see that stretch itself out in a normal through the normal part of the year. So you as board members are able to see what we see internally in terms of what is spent out of the line and how that's and what we're used to, and the question Jim's been asking me for years is, tell me what's in your head. So you're gonna see the representation of what's in our head.
Yeah.
We know more behind it why than you do, but you're now going to have that information. So this is helpful in this way we've done this quarter, because if you go all the way to the end of the financials to August for that same page, which is 20 through September 27, you're seeing accounting and audit, it's at 99%.
Yep.
So you could have anticipated that happening by what you saw in July. And then if you look at communications, it's only 39%, and it was 24 at July. So you're seeing how that's going to work itself out.
It works as a conversation starter, the percentages. So I like this format very much. I find it very understandable. And it's the questions we have if we read the check registry or the door count or the things that sort of indicate to us, like, hey, let's ask a question or what's going on or what's interesting about this. There's a story. Let's ask about the story. The story the budget can tell us is, you know, those huge variations can tell us something pretty cool.
So I'm able to say that it's good. We're in good shape, and you can tell from the balance sheets what's in the capital fund, the grants, the total governmental funds, because this format adheres to the governmental accounting format that we must use for auditing purposes as a government unit. But by adding that year-to-date percentages column, we're giving you that information about the line items that we haven't been able to accomplish. So now we're trying to do that.
Yes. Okay.
If you have a detailed question about the budget, I will promise to do my best to answer it.
I just have a comment, which is I agree that the percentages are really helpful, but I would just remind everyone that the percentage, in looking at the percentages, look at the amount too, because if we're 100% on an amount, a budget, a line item that's $10,000 versus $10 million, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, correct.
We can also see that at the bottom, because the total expenditures, for example, is 23%, which is 8% times 3. So
right, which we're doing very well. But I only pointed this out on those line items because I wanted to make sure. Because we, for years, had the statement, we're over budget in this line, it will come back at the end of the year, and that was not helpful. So now you're seeing what we meant by that.
Right.
And in the narrative, you have a little bit better information about the revenue, the expenditures, the revenue over under, and grants and memorials. And so I just wanted to make sure that you saw the difference and we're okay with the difference.
So did this come from, is it Manor?
We talked to Manor about your request and what you were trying to accomplish. It was the Manor and the auditors who told us you cannot abandon the governmental accounting format, but you can add this to help with the understanding of the budget.
Great.
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions for Josie on the financial reports, or is there anything else you'd like to add, Josie?
No, I'm prepared to, if you had a question, I'm prepared to answer it, and if I can't do it by myself, I'll get Eli to help me. So
the only thing I don't still quite understand, because I think the percentages are helpful in keeping the conversation going, is the, I mean, I understand what we need to have just in terms of the law, in terms of how our budget is presented, but then what is to stop us from having also just a supplemental financial system that did what the other document used to do? I mean, why is it that we can have a narrative report and that, you know, that essentially doesn't necessarily follow that governmental accounting format, but we cannot have another supplemental report that does that? That's a little convoluted.
Can I field this one?
Yeah, sure.
So rather than answering that question, I'd like to ask a question in return, which is, what is it you want to get? Like, I understand you want some projections, but I'm failing to understand what you can't see here that you want to see.
Well, the reason that we made the shift to the other system was to be able to understand how expenditures are made been projected over the course of the year, which is not a division by 12, because like everything is not spent in 12 equal increments. Mm-hmm. So we can see the fits and starts which sort of does it, but we still don't really.
But if you read this next to the budget, doesn't that give you what you are looking for?
I mean, it doesn't. I mean,
but I think I hear what you're suggesting, and it sounds like make work. I mean, so if you write a report of here's what the financials say versus doing a whole other financial report, that sounds laborious and potentially expensive, and it's not something it's not a thing I want to see, but so if it costs money to get you the information you want, Then I would say, is there another way we can get you what you want?
My assumption is that the staff has to do that kind of projecting anyway. That's just a part of how business is done. I mean, you right. all don't split up how you spend your funds over 12 years. You know that you have a summer game that requires X number of funds in July versus, you know, September, right? So,
well, is this something that can be resolved if you worked with Colleen as treasurer, or?
Well, we already did the thing that I'm suggesting, and what we were told was that we could no longer present it because it does not follow governmental reporting standards.
Right.
But that is not to say that it should stop. My question legally is, and this was unresolved, was whether or not we needed to, we could not have a supplemental report that was, so like this is our official governmental accounting.
Right.
And we can have theoretically a set of tools that help us interpret this, including a written report.
I don't know if it's really an interpretation or like this is what's on public record and this is what's required legally of us.
And that's right. This is legal. This is what is required. And we tried to add something that gives you an idea of the expenditure that according to what's been used of the line amounts, because the law requires you to pass a line item budget. Mm-hmm. And Jim's right. The staff have to bring a budget to you. Because it's a line item budget, frankly, it's a lot harder to do than it was 10 years ago before we had line item budgets. But when we were required to begin line item budgeting, we had the history of budgeting that we used to decide how to estimate these lines.
Yeah, you have your actuals from years and years and years.
All I can say is that we decide what we are presenting in a budget to you as what's appropriate in each line based on the prior year, what we see coming. Like, for instance, I could not have seen accounting and audit.
Yeah.
I couldn't have seen that coming.
Right.
So I know that's going to be totally out of whack. Mm-hmm. There's likely to be something that's less this year because of a different condition that changes in the middle of the year, mm-hmm. and that money will come and balance out that overage. I try not to say this in an arrogant way, but you know, when you do this enough, you know what you're doing. You know what your numbers are likely to be. The collections budget is what it, the full budget is what it is, and mm-hmm. within it, people meet and talk about what that looks like and what the events are going to be and what kind of materials we need, and they do it monthly. And so they have a big amount of money, and they talk monthly about, over time, how to spend that money. So it's not a one decision up front that determines how that's going to happen. No,
that's not what you're asking for, though, is it?
No. I don't think that's what you were asking for. Yeah, I have no concerns about how much, like, the decisions are made about. It's this, like, question of just, like, budget transparency for a board that's supposed to understand how money flows. Like, you're empowered to make decisions about how the funds are spent. And
within these lines,
right. Exactly. And so I don't, I mean, and this is not, this is a, not a message of, mistrust or,
right. I didn't take it
it's
that
more,
way.
it's more about being able to sort of have a working knowledge of what is, what's happening,
or
right?
Maybe you're asking for a fuller picture, because I think this is pretty workable. I mean, and this is also something that covers 3 months. So this is a sizable. This is actually.
So a fuller picture. I still don't know what that means.
So I'd like to. Wait,
let's
piece,
can.
But can you come to the podium, Eli?
Yeah.
Can I just take a stab at this, Jim? Would it help you if answer the question that you're looking to answer. If this column that said year-to-date percentage for each line was then compared to what that had been for that month for the previous several fiscal years.
That actually might
for be. For years?
That's what you're looking for. You want to know we're at 19%. Is that above? Is that below? Okay.
That is
what
the,
is that? Yes. That's the expertise you're looking to have.
Prior years?
Comparative data.
I mean, you could have your FY19 actuals alongside your FY20. Okay.
So we can say so last
that
year.
So there is an actual number against an actual number. So you're talking apples to apples and not ratios, right?
I guess to have
a sense of that.
That's fine. If it's percentages, then that would account for the budget being different year over year. So we would know, like, for example, we increased the communications budget but now we know that typically at this point in the year, we've spent 30% of it. Mm-hmm. Last year, we'd spent 23% of it, so we're ahead. Is that the sort of thing that you're looking for?
I think partially, yes. Yeah.
So there, I think there are a couple of things we can do. So when I first looked at this format, I went and I looked at last month and I looked at 1 year ago, so I could see three different budgets side by side to see the variation. And I do like the new one, but I think that has to do with how I read numbers and the percentage serves me. So when I look at the year over, to me it's a matter of, if I want to know, I just go back to my records and I can check it out. But I'm interested in best practices because we're not the only library and we're not the only library in a market of our size. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that this question has come up before for library boards who are looking at budgets. And so I wonder if perhaps there's some questions we can ask of other libraries where we can get some information and see how it's done differently. That's all public information.
Yes.
I know, again, I don't want to go to make work, but I also think that what you're saying is true. The more information we have, the better decisions we can make, the more informed our decisions are. If we look at a sheet of paper and it looks like numbers and we don't understand what those numbers mean, then we don't have the information we need to make an informed decision based on the analysis, mm-hmm. right? So you're saying do business like business.
Business like business. Victoria's been trying to get in.
It does seem to me, I do understand what you're saying, Jim, about that kind of, when you look at numbers and you're like, is it okay that we spent 30% or not? And having to ask for that as opposed to being able to figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about month-to-month projections, but I thought Eli's suggestion about seeing not the budgeted amount the previous year, but the actual amount, seems like it'd be very little work for the staff. They wouldn't have to do much. They could just give the actual number from the previous year, so it's one extra column. And when we have a question, I mean, we all know the budget was fine last year, mm-hmm. and that would give us an mm-hmm. easy way to say, this happened last year, and we think we're fine overall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the bottom line would also be there. I mean, I don't care about the budget last year. We care about the actuals last year.
We can also guess on the... Sorry, I'm making a sound. We can also guess based on the categories, right? Like, we know summer game is, like, a lot of expenditures in certain areas, and then... So we can expect to see certain things be up higher, right?
But we'd like to need less local knowledge in order to be able to interpret the numbers, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the year-to-date percentages are really, really helpful and another tool to understanding the thing we're talking mm-hmm. about, which is, like, unusual variances mm-hmm. and just trying to grapple with those at, you know... Which may not actually change the course of, like, how we are agents of this budget, but help us understand and interpret and be able to intelligently represent it. And I mean, in an ideal world, you would have your... I mean, I guess, like, you don't need the projections anymore in this model because they don't exist. They're just divide by 12. So that's... And that has always been the frustrating thing to me, which is that we're not dealing with real numbers. It's like, one... We spend a dollar, we make a dollar, everything equals out to zero, and we have no, like, it's like nothing ever happened. You know, and that's like, that's part of understanding how the flow of activity and expenditures work has been my interest.
Well, I mean, but if this you're looking new for version, comparisons sorry. Over time versus with what's happening on month to month within the year, is that where we're at? Is that what you're asking for over... Right. Instead of within the movement within the year and the percentage increase or decrease you're looking for over time compared to last year.
The actuals.
Right. The actuals. All right. I think the staff has agreed that this is doable. Yes.
We'll have to ask the people who do that work.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And then we can also expect an increase then in our accounting and audit.
Everybody seems really annoyed about this. And I'm not trying to do this.
I don't think it's annoying. I think
For my part, it's not annoying.
No.
I'm having trouble understanding what you need, and that bothers me personally because I would like to be able to know that.
Yeah.
And so I'm having trouble understanding that, and that's not about you. It's clearly about me. And so we just have to come to some place where we can do that. And we can talk to our auditing company and see what our accounting company and find out. The other thing we can do is go look at other big classics district libraries online presentations and see how different they are.
That'd be great.
So if they're different.
I do want to make something clear. Jim, I heard you say this is a divide by 12 budget. The percentage isn't divide by 12, though.
They're not.
Now I'm really confused.
Oh, no.
Because that was the change back.
Oh, no.
Well, we just have to move on.
Okay. Yeah. I think, so if we can just make sure if there's time with staff and then the finance committee, if we can include Jim in some of these discussions before next meeting, I think that's workable.
Great.
Yes? Okay. Anything else?
I'm just going to say, on the record, in the public meeting, it is really important that we understand what is happening here. And it shouldn't be a private conversation, you know, not a private conversation, but it shouldn't
be
like an executive committee conversation or or a conversation happening in Budget and Finance Committee. The fact that I do not understand this, this is the space for me to understand it.
Right, but if it's something that it's more extensive than what this meeting can allow, and it could happen in committee or in partnership between committees.
But I think there are other people who don't understand either.
Is it? I mean,
well, I think
I honestly.
Karine, go ahead.
Did you really not understand the percentages?
No, I mean, the last time this was presented to me, it was because we haven't also seen financials since the new fiscal year, which is when all this has happened. So it's the first time I am looking at the new format, you know, as we are like getting this packet. And I think that there's. The way that all of this was described to me is that we could not use projections because they were not a divide by 12 scenario. So is that not the case? And whoever explained it to me did not explain it to me accurately.
Well, maybe like there's a couple different questions on the table, right?
Yeah.
Like one of them is like, what do we have to have in this document that is like our, you know, our public presentation?
Exactly.
Of work? But then your question about like there is also a narrative accompanying it. Could something else accompany it? That's a different question,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yes.
But Colleen's point that that would cost staff time is valid, I think. You know, like preparing additional material for our benefit, which I think I hear from you, like would be like for the public benefit as well. You know, so but I feel like if you had a more extensive conversation about what would meet your needs, even if that was offline, you could still report back about it, and you might get something out of it that. It's hard to do right now. You know, I'm not saying that you should take it, like, underground. I don't mean that at all. It's just that, like, maybe if the two of you just talked a little bit more about what it is you want to see, and then you can come back and, I don't mean to.
And then bring Manor in on that conversation,
Well, I think it's fair. I mean, in the prior year, in 19, Bill tried to change the budget to show it from not an accrual basis. And the problem was it did not balance.
Yeah,
right.
It did not balance. So when we were going through with this, we had to balance it. And therefore, we know that what you saw the last few months of the year, we can't do because it did not balance. So and I'm talking about the balance sheet balance, so which is huge. And so what we're doing is we've gone back to accrual accounting, but we added this column in the hopes of giving some transparency to the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're one step ahead. We're one step closer to what it is we're looking for. But I do think I need a conversation with Manor and with you, Jim, to see what is not here that would give you what you need that we can add to this in the format of these documents that lets us comply with what we have to comply with.
Mm-hmm.
If it can be done within the narrative, in the context of narrative, then we can try that. Rather than in the numbers. I don't know. I'm going to have to find out.
Right.
I don't know.
Thank you for finding out, Josie. And thank you, Jen. Really, it is important feedback, and it's been a while since we've looked at this.
Yeah.
So it's great to get your the full weight of your thoughts on this.
the full heavy weight.
Yes. And we'll lift it all together. Great. So moving on to committee reports, executive committee. The executive committee met earlier today at 5 o'clock. And we just kind of caught up with each other. I reported out how Josie, Eli, and I had met with the Smith Group, and that's a consulting firm that the city council has contracted to look at the parcels, real estate parcels, and how they're looking to develop them. And this was a conversation on the Y lot. So they're just looking for feedback from neighbors, and we are a neighbor that's been here for a while, has seen, I think, every iteration of the Y lot. And then I think the Smith Group is actually publishing their report in November. So, I mean, we eagerly anticipate what the results are. The one thing that we did communicate and just really wanted to emphasize to the consulting firm is that the library is an entity that serves a wider demographic, a bigger geography. So it's not just the city that we're accountable to, but also the townships. So when we talk about our service area, we mean much wider than what the city needs to meet. So I think that's really it that's happened on the executive level. Am I missing anything, Jen?
No.
Okay. Josie, did I miss anything? No? Okay, great. So moving on to Strategic Planning Committee. Amy,
so
please.
Thank you. We met, I don't remember the exact date, maybe 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
With Carrie and Anika, the two consultants that we've engaged. Sorry, I'll get closer to this. That's the issue, right, Eli? So we met with our consultants recently, and they presented to us some draft values. I think that I mentioned this last time, but I'm not 100% sure. So as a committee, we are working on this new strategic plan, but in the course of doing that, we were investigating the library's values, which were last sort of discussed and enacted about 20 years ago. So we decided that it would be a good opportunity to refresh the values to make sure they reflect the contemporary mission of the library and the way that, you know, I think we see things being defined here. So Carrie and Anika brought us a draft of a new revision. And to be honest, I think through the course of the discussion, we were really not satisfied. It was a really good discussion. I think that all of us, I think, benefited from just like seeing something that we weren't sure about, because it made us, I think, surer when about a week ago we got new draft values from them, and I feel much better about them. So I think by the time you see something, I think that the committee and I think also the staff will be, you know, pretty excited about what we're going to see from them. And it's been like an interesting experience to like really think about, well, like, why are we here, and why do all of us participate in this, and what does this library do? Mm-hmm. So we should have. I mean, I just saw the draft a week ago, I think, and all of us did on the group. So it should be, I guess, next month maybe that we'll have something more public on the value side. And then, you know, we're not due to complete this until January. So it's a very extended, sort of luxurious amount of time to work on this, which is nice. Questions?
Josie. They've asked to meet directly, individually with managers.
Oh, good.
So they'll have to get that done, and I'm not sure how the time will go on that.
Yeah.
So we're working right now and organizing that.
Okay. Well, won't make any promises on November or December. Other questions?
Great. Thank you. So moving on to our director's report, Josie.
Thank you. So this first slide is just letting you know that Pittsfield branch is closed. We'll announce the reopening soon. We will open within the allotted time frame. The glass is, as it was the case of Trevor Wood, getting the field measurements and getting the glass order makes puts a situation where the glass comes in after we reopen. And then they'll be doing that, what they call third shift. They'll be putting it in when we're not open. So we won't lose time when that's happening. So that's what won't happen. We did take the opportunity to move the Bernoulli machine away from what will be a meeting room over to the youth area. So that's going to happen, and you'll see. Bernoulli's down and in pieces right now. It goes back up and tomorrow. So it's that'll happen. So that's the way that is. We will announce the Trevorwood closing when we know the opening date for Pittsfield, because they are keyed together. So that will happen. This is the Trevorwood Drive project. It's nearing completion. If you've been up there to see, this is the corner by the at Huron Parkway in Trevorwood, what this looks like. The parking goes all the way now, almost to Plymouth Road on the west side, which is the library side of Trevorwood. And there's a bike lane on the east side, all the way from Huron Parkway to Plymouth.
This has been happening pretty quickly.
It did happen very quickly. They were ready to go as soon as the vote occurred. They had the contracts ready to go.
Okay.
And it started that next week. Okay. So, yep. This is our downtown. I looked because I thought for a moment I was in one place. I'm not. This is the new drop box off the front porch. So this is the interior side and then the exterior. The drop box on William Street will be closing sometime this week. And we're bricking them over, so they're unmistakably closed. And we'll make sure that happens. The signage, there's a banner that will go up saying where the new drop box is. The thing to know about this large box here is the flap out front's lockable. This is movable when there are major events like Tiny Expo where we need the space for tabling. Okay. We will close it, move this out of the way. People will come in and put things in the interior drop right inside the front door. That's how we see that happening.
Nice.
I thought you would be interested in knowing that Joyce Hunter, the CEO of the African American Cultural History Museum, did this great interview on Comcast, and a part of it was talking about the ADL Oral History Project. And Joyce did a fabulous job, and you can search it and listen to it. So
the link is in the
packet. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the link is in the packet. She was so complimentary of the work with the library and what it's meant for them and their ability to get people to talk. And the group that was that did this latest one, the reception was at Westgate probably a month ago now. And one of the people had been in Ann Arbor all her life, and she was 99 years old, and they did the taping in her home, and she passed away shortly within a few weeks of that. Okay. And so her son, his children, or other people in the family were there, and it was their time to see this present, her talking, since it was very moving and very, very lovely. And a lot of people in the community who knew her, who grew up in the neighborhood around her, were there. It was quite an afternoon. So we had standing room only for this particular one. It was really good. So. Way's Goose brought 2,600 people to downtown. And I think you'll be interested in knowing that we will host the National Amalgamated Printers Association Way's, I got it, didn't I? Association Way's Goose in June of this year, which will be huge.
Yeah.
Huge. The Way's Goose included an event at Ann Arbor Art Center with Amos Kennedy, who is a letterpress artist who's amazing. And if you want to see his work, it is hanging at the Ann Arbor Art Center still. It's down now. That's too bad. It was in here for the last board meeting, and then that was letterpress printing on old maps of certain states that have a political and a historical meaning to segregation and racism, and his words and the words he used. It was amazing. So it was incredible. We hosted Dia de la Familia here, and we had about 275 people in attendance here at the downtown library. This is something we do. We trade off locations each year with IPSI District Library. Eli and I are working with a stamp school class. The topic is art in social spaces. And there are 7 projects. Did we go down from 9 to 7? I think so.
It's a little unclear.
Yeah, it's a U of M class, so we're having, it's an undergraduate class, so it's interesting all the way around. They are looking at putting temporary art installations in this library and a number of places. And we've been working with them on what those spaces are, the what can be in the building safely, and where. And so they'll be here tomorrow with us in the morning looking at the spaces again and showing us, I think, some mock-ups of what they're talking about doing. They'll install them in November, and they'll be here until sometime in December, and unless they hold up for longer, depending upon how they're made and how many hands touch them and that sort of thing. So it was something that the professors were very interested in our being involved because we have the most public and public spaces, and the students had to understand about sharp edges, materials. You know, if you want to do something in the youth department, what do y'all do you think, what do you have taken consideration, that sort of thing. So it's been so far very fun and interesting. So you won't miss them if you come in November, because they're hanging them and some of them in some very obvious places. So we're doing that. Okay. ADL volunteers are amazing. You should know there were 500 plus volunteers so far involved in our volunteer efforts. 169 people during summer. The hours of service are there. They assisted at over 164 programs. And the major, major, major thing we thank them for is they packed over 3,000 summer game shop orders, which is a huge amount of work, very laborious and not all that exciting. But they try to have fun while they're doing it, and it looks like they do. And I want to thank Shoshana, who's sitting in the back row, for coordinating and organizing the library's volunteers. So I just want to make sure you get recognized. We did have the RFP looked at by Bill Stapleton from Hooper Hathaway for a coffee shop. He gave us back a couple of edits that were different from the RFP that we did on a coffee shop for Westgate, and it's more about its location in this building than it is anything else. So we are prepared to put it out and see what happens. And we wanted to make sure before we do that, if there was conversation that needed to happen still about that, we're here to do that. The summary of the staff comments. The second grade visits, is that where I am? No. Yes, I am. All right. The second grade visits have begun. Kids from Steiner Lower School paid us a visit the last week and walked away with their books, their bags, and their library cards. Australian fantasy author Garth Nix was here. He's just one of more than a dozen authors appearing at the ADL in October. He's posing with a big fan, taking a selfie, and he packed the lavatorium, as you can see. He was happy about that. The ADL's drag bingo was a ton of fun with Jaden Black as the caller and a packed NPR waiting to shout bingo. One happy family took this photo after the event, so let's make sure you saw that. This caption from Westgate reads, "Less than 48 hours in Ann Arbor and I've already visited 2 library branches. This is just one of the many inviting spaces at the Westgate location, which is sure to become a happy place for me. I can't wait to get a library card." Playdate at the library. And even teddy bears participate in yoga for kids. So. The A2 skate park met in one of our meeting rooms to welcome a new youth member and talk about upcoming plans. This is one of the worst meeting rooms in the whole library, and they still met there. This is in the downtown branch, and it's, you know, one of those that we're trying to make a little nicer and better, but that's upstairs on the second floor. So, this is a fall photo from the Mallett's Rain Garden with caption, "My new favorite grant writing spot," from someone. And the other thing I just wanted to bring to your attention is a comment that I answered at the end in my director's report. You probably have seen, and if you haven't, you're about to hear me say, there's been a trend in public libraries to eliminate fines. And I had a person ask me about an article in Wall Street Journal and asked me about this library's position on that. And I wanted to So you can see what I answered, but I also wanted to say to you why we don't eliminate fines, mm-hmm. and have this opportunity. If we need a conversation about it further, then we should have one. But if I'm answering these questions, you should know too what I'm saying to people. First of all, the amount of fine, the amount of cards in this, we have 58,000 active cards, meaning people have used a card within the last 2 years. Less than 3% of those are blocked due to fines. Correct? I'm right, correct. Less than 3% of those, which is a very small number. The fine revenue here compared to the full amount of the budget at the end of last year was less than $200,000 in fine revenue in a 16-something million dollar budget. So what that says to me is that we're doing some other things really right. And what we're doing right is we're waiving fines. Prior to this, in the last year when we talked to you about changing the circulation policies, we were able to tell you when we were using the Millennium system that we had waived about $200,000 in fines that year. We also eliminated all the fines when we moved over to Evergreen. Mm-hmm. It's a little harder in Evergreen to determine that number, so I'm not giving it to you right now. We have empowered everyone on the desk to waive fines whenever they can to waive the overdue fines. And we do, and we keep doing it, and we keep doing it. The thing that what fines do is it reminds a person who uses the library they're borrowing it. And when we borrow something, we bring it back. And two things that fines do, it helps us with our wait list, our holds list, getting material back. It also brings material back into the library that serves the browser's experience. So the fine revenue is not about the library. It's not about punitive. It's not about our bottom line. It's not about being rule-oriented. It's about the other person who wants what you've borrowed the next time it comes back in. The other thing I want to say about this movement to drop fines is there is a very ugly, dark side to that that isn't talked about. And I'm going to give you two examples, and these are two that have been very well written about so far. And I'm not beating up on any library. These are documented facts that you can go out and find on their websites. In our system, for an item to be considered lost, it has to be 45 days overdue. 45 days overdue for it to be lost before we decide that you owe us the money for that object. That's not about the fines, because if we get it back, we waive all the fines, right? We do that. In the system, in one system just south of us over the border, the time frame for calling something lost is 2 weeks from due date. 2 weeks. The amount of money being held up by the libraries dropping fines is far greater on that side of things than being able to waive a fine. So it's far more punitive. In Chicago, it's 3 weeks that you're going to be charged for the item if it's overdue. What Chicago has done, though, is a little bit like what we've done by offering people unlimited renewals, which we did years ago. Chicago now does 15 renewals automatically before somebody's overdue. But once they are, they have 3 weeks and it's call lost. And then it's the price of the material plus the replacement fee on top of it. And if you've got multiple things out on your card, that can be a lot of money fast. So we are approaching this in a very different way. And we think because of the low percentage of people who use their cards who are in this position, that our ability to manage this way is fair and more compassionate. The other thing that you probably all know is this library gives all the staff who work the desks full authority to waive fines. Mm-hmm. It's totally within their ability to make that decision and waive the fine. And there's no question asked about it. So we do that. And I wanted you to hear me talk about this from both sides of this, mm-hmm. to understand why this library has not gone down that path. It's important to get the material back. Mm-hmm. It's important as stewards of public mm-hmm. goods to get the material back so that the next person can borrow it. And that's what we're trying to do.
Do we document our policy about fine waivers?
It's not a policy.
It's not a policy, it's procedure. It's part of our acting, our procedure.
So people don't know that.
So that's the dilemma, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
Do you say to the world, we're going to waive all your fines?
I mean,
do you just make it happen?
I was thinking about that, Josie. Like, I guess the one coming I wrote down is, like, the one thing is, like, the one kid who would never think to come up to the desk mm-hmm. and, like, might keep it secret mm-hmm. that they, mm-hmm. or not even honestly remember. And then the family all of a sudden gets, like, a collection bill. Speaking as someone who's gotten a collection bill from the library, I tell you all that, like, I'm totally this person who, like, has books all the time, and I always have fines. I don't mind paying them. I'm not anti-fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, what do you do about, like, the handful of people who might end up in kind of a bind?
Well, I waived $300 today in lost material fees mm-hmm. for a gentleman who's homebound now. Mm-hmm. And what... he wouldn't say, but what I could hear in the conversation was that someone who cared for him took it.
Oh.
And he felt compelled to, he wanted to pay it off by the month. And I said, that's not required at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope, it's gone. Yeah. It's done. It's over. And I don't want you to lose your ability to use the library.
Mm-hmm.
And we're good. We're good. Now, that's considered a lot of money in our mm-hmm. world. And so
yeah,
those calls
so.
Usually come
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
It is very rare for me to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the family, children's cards do not get letters.
They don't?
No. Collections.
Oh, okay.
No, they do not.
That answers my question
no,
then.
They do
I think
not.
I feel
no,
differently.
They do not. Because children are not why their material did not come back to the library on time.
Well, right.
People
yeah.
who took it out with them and who get them back and forth to the library or get them here are little children. So we don't send children's cards. They don't go that way.
Okay, cool. That answers
my
question.
With the second grade field trips coming through, is this a message that
yeah,
the
absolutely.
Kids are getting to?
They are talked about. They talk about they're borrowing it. They talk mm-hmm. about they have to bring it back. They are told about the fines.
Mm-hmm.
All of the outreach we do to all the groups in town that are not traditionally in their country's public
mm-hmm.
library service is not tradition
mm-hmm.
are. It's talked about in terms of how it works, and that while it's borrowed, you can come and get it. You can't keep it past a certain point in time. Then remember too, we do the pre-notice of overdue and the due dates. It's 3 days ahead of time. I think without taking that librarian hat, and I don't want to be that pointy finger librarian, but there is a responsibility. Mm-hmm. of when you borrow that you give bring it
that's
back
right.
and that we talk about that without it being a heavy part of a message. So, but there will always be, I think, Jamie, that family who doesn't come back in
mm-hmm.
because of they owe and they don't want to walk back into a place
yeah.
where they owe. And we, by pushing it out as far as we do, and they get three letters, and there's it's said in the letter, call the library, talk to the library. It's not like you're going. And another thing you all should know is the public libraries in Michigan are not able to actually. This is not against someone's credit in Michigan any longer. So it's doesn't affect a person's credit. It did 20 years ago, but it doesn't now. Does that help?
Oh, it totally helps.
Okay.
And I did appreciate that it didn't
yeah.
affect my credit.
I'm glad. Anything else?
Well, I know when we lost the Katy Perry CD, it's become legend in our household. It's our frame of reference for how to be responsible library patrons. We can't let that happen again. In case there are other Katy Perry fans just waiting for another concert.
It's under the car seat. It's always under the car seat or in the dog bed.
You know, it was under my husband's car, too. Oh. See, he was so embarrassed. He had to, you know, say it was actually our 9-year-old. So
thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I wanted that discussion so you
yes.
would hear me say why we are not going down that path.
Brilliant. Thank you, Josie.
Thank you.
Moving well, Josie, you're up again.
I am.
We're gonna get an update on construction projects, yep. And with Len being out, he's sick.
Right. So Pittsfield relabeling is on schedule. Actually, we learned today it's a little ahead of schedule, which is really great. That's the more we do that, the faster that goes, and moving things over to the category system from the Dewey system. So the staff are down there daily working on bringing that collection up with those labeling. The electrical work is being done this week and next week in at Pittsfield Branch, so that's part of the process. We'll be ready to open it on time. So the Trevorwood schedule closure will be announced after Pittsfield reopens, which we talked about earlier. The fourth floor meeting room final drawings have been approved, and that work is out for bid.
Oh, great.
So that we don't have anything for you this evening, which is good, because I'm glad, because Lynn would have been the right person to bring it to you. But when we get those bids and we've reviewed them, we'll bring them forward to you. We're still waiting for budget numbers from O'Neill on the generators, mm-hmm. on all of them in that project. And when we get that, you should, I think Lynn's getting pretty frustrated with the delay. So I expect you'll see something in November on those. So,
and that's a sizable cost.
It's a lot of money. Yes, right. It is. It's a lot of money. Okay. But it's that question of a place for people to be when there's no power in huge neighborhoods, if the library can be open. And it also is going to save us money on damage, right. to our infrastructure because of what's happening to when those power surges happen. We're spending thousands of dollars on repairs because of that. So these generators will resolve that.
Right.
Any questions for me?
I have a question about another issue, Josie. Last time we talked about yet another sewage issue in the downtown branch, and we were going to get a new part. Am I remembering my pieces correctly?
Yes. And
has that work been completed?
For that repair project, yes. For the long-term...
Yes.
For the long-term change, no. But for the repair part, yes. I'm confirming with Eli, because I'm understanding your question.
Yep.
I just, no, we have not made the big change. That's another number that'll have to come to you.
Great.
Yep.
And are these parts that are, will they be manufactured forever? I mean, is there a point where we start stocking up on things in advance?
Well, I think Lynn would tell you that he's going to stock up.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Okay.
As a matter of fact,
yeah.
he did.
Okay.
On this go round, there's an extra one.
Okay.
And so I think Lynn would tell you yes, he's going to stock up on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Great. We are to the end of our meeting. That was super fast. We had no resolutions tonight, so great. Do we have any other? Do we have any citizens' comments? Anyone moved to come to the podium? Great. All right. Well, with that, we're in adjournment. Thank you.
This program was recorded on October 21st, 2019, at the Ann Arbor District Library.